to say too. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for making my investment so wonderful. I've had the privilege of investing in some of the finest things on earth. You know, people invest in the stock market hoping that they'll get a return. And may I say that every investment I've ever invested in the Lord's work has brought a wonderful return.
Amen.
And these little churches just like this are my greatest thrill.
Amen.
My greatest honor is to invest in you. And this one is one of my dearest. And I really enjoy my dividends. Amen. Y'all are a blessing to me. And it's a thrill for me to be here. I get the thrill of serving with my wife. You know, I spend every day with my wife. And we don't really, how am I trying to say this? We get along so well, it's just every day is just a blessing. You know, we don't have any bad stories to tell you. And I just enjoy being able to come here and bring my wife. Because then she gets to see it too. It's part of her investment. And thank y'all for being so kind to us and being our friends. Amen. It's just a thrill. I mean, I can't put it in words. My heart's overjoyed at what God is doing here. And Christian was talking about the first time we came, and I remember so well that time and how small things were. But I learned a long time ago, never despise the day of small things. Because small is nothing to God. He's a big God. No matter how small it is, He's a big God. And, boy, just the things God has done, it thrills my soul. And to have a young man say that about me. Someday I want to see you standing here, son. It's a thrill to invest in young men. And, just to see them grow, to see them stay with their parents, amen, and to see them playing guitars and singing in the house of God, and man, just see them growing in the Lord, and to see the church growing in the Lord, and to see Alejandro up here singing, man. So what do you think about that? I think it's wonderful, amen. When a man comes, just gives his heart, amen. That's what it's all about, giving your heart. If you'll give your heart, God will repay you more than you ever dreamed you'd get. And I said earlier, folks invest in the stock market hoping that they'll get a good dividend, and hopefully they hope it'll go up. I don't have a lot in this world. But boy, I'll tell you what, you wait till the trumpet blows and watch my stock go up. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad, amen, glad that God allowed our paths to cross, preacher. One of my dearest friends, and I appreciate you, preacher. And we'll be praying for you, amen, as we go down the road. And we covet your prayers as well. Take your Bibles with me, if you would, and turn to 2 Kings. Good to see the preacher's brother, amen. I saw you this morning, brother. I looked back here. I couldn't place you. You put on a little weight since I saw you last. It's that truck driving. Amen. Amen. It wasn't until I saw the profile I realized who he was. Amen. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 1, "And it came to pass, When the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee. For the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men and the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Father, I thank you again for the privilege. And God, we never take it lightly. We're so glad you allowed us, God, to be here. So glad you allowed us, Father, to meet. So glad you gave us the liberty to preach. And God, I pray now for that precious liberty once again. And I pray, Lord, for the filling of the Spirit of God and the cleansing power of the blood. And Lord God, I pray that we'd be able to say that which you would have said. That which would challenge, encourage, strengthen, and help the saints of God. And Father, if there's one here that's lost, maybe you'd save them tonight. And God, we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Elisha here knows that his master and his teacher is about to pass off the scene. And he wants the most important thing that any servant of God can have. And that's the power of God. And my friend, the power of God is to be guarded in our lives. It's to be protected. The presence of God is to be kept. Amen. It's not to be taken lightly. It's not to be abused. It's not for show. Amen. Samson thought it was, and look what it got him. Amen. He played with it, with the Philistines, and he wound up grinding for the Philistines with his eyes poked out. Amen. It's not for show. The presence and power of God is for the work of God, for the glory of God. And I studied something a little bit. I looked around at that, the way that tabernacle was set up. And if you've ever seen a picture of that thing, what was in that tabernacle? It was the presence and power of God. Yeah. Amen. When the pillar of cloud came down in the night and that thing was set up, it went down into that Holy of Holies. And you know what that was? That was a testimony to the world that God was in the place. Amen. And you know what's in our life? That presence and power of God is a testimony to that world that God lives in us. Amen. It's to be protected. Amen. And that's the reason. If you look, that's why they had camps all the way around that thing. And God was in the middle. Why? To keep anybody from getting in there and getting God. Amen. And I know God's big. He can take care of himself. But hey, if they had gotten in there and destroyed that tabernacle, there's the witness. In fact, I believe one place it's called the Tabernacle of Witness. Amen. There goes the witness to the world if they get anything out of that tabernacle. And everything in there was valuable. Amen. I often wondered, why did they have the beaten gold, you know, on the walls and all that, until I went to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, they have a mock-up of it there. And it dawned on me, the only light they had was candles. And that thing's covered with ram skins. It's dark in there. And if you just take them skins, I lived in a bush hut for 3 years, and I know what happens. It's dark in there, man. We cut the ends out, the gable ends out of it, and put plastic up so light would come in during the day, because it's just dark in broad daylight. You got to have light get in there somehow. They beat that stuff down, and that gold reflected the light. It reflected God. That was the presence of God. Everything about that thing spoke of God. And they had camped around it to keep and protect the presence and power of God. And Elijah here is asking, amen, for a double portion. A double portion. That's what I'd like to preach on a little bit tonight, a double portion. Amen. Getting that double portion. And beloved, I'm telling you what, I'm tired of hearing the way it used to be.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm tired of hearing what God's doing someplace else.
Yeah.
I want to know what God's doing today.
Amen.
Amen. Is God alive and well in your life today?
Amen.
I used to have my people in New Guinea. I'd have them do testimonies just like we had here tonight. And boy, I appreciate good testimonies. But you know what they would do is for a couple of years, they would get up. I'd say, anybody got a testimony? And they would stand up and they would say, yeah, I got saved on September the 19th, 1993. And Brother Cliff was preaching on 2 Corinthians 5:17, and God smote my heart. Now I'm a new creature in Christ and all that. And I could tell you, whoever it was when they got up, I could tell exactly what they were going to say, word for word. I could quote them before they said it, because they'd just given the same testimony over and over and over again. And I was glad God saved them. I mean, praise God, I'm glad God is in the saving business. But did God die when you got saved? Amen. And that's what I did one Sunday. I was burdened about it. I was just heavy. I said, God, this isn't what I'm looking for. I know, praise God, they're saved. But Lord, are you still doing something for them? That's what I want to know. That's what testimony is today. Is God doing something for you now?
Yeah.
And man, I said, Lord, what can I do? And Lord said, just tell them. So, you know, somebody gave their testimony, and I got up, and I said, look, I said, did God die when you got saved? Of course, y'all looked at me, and I'm like, well, no, of course not. He's God. He can't die. I said, then, when I ask for a testimony, I'm glad God saved you. I'm glad God, man, but listen, I can give your testimony for you. I could run out there, turn around, and say exactly what you're going to say, and everybody hear me say it instead of you, but it'd be your testimony. I said, that's wonderful, but I want to know what God is doing for you now.
Amen.
Amen. God did not die, and the world needs to know what God is doing for you now. Amen. Right now, present tense, God is on the throne. He's alive and well. He's making intercession for you, and he's helping you. What is he doing for you?
Amen.
Well, man, I had a lady stand up, and she said, well, you know, the preacher taught us to give to missions and over and above tithe. You know, if the Lord touched our heart, how much the Lord told us to give, we give that to missions. And to pray and ask God what he'd have us to give. And then he would tell us, and then we give it. And he said, this woman said, you know my situation. She was a nurse. And she had got this debilitating disease, and she lost her job as a nurse. You know, she could no longer pick up heavy people and, you know, toss them around like nurses have to do sometimes. And so she lost her job. Well, she had a wonderful husband. Her wonderful husband left her when she lost her job and left her with 2 children. And, you know, nice guy. Well, you know why he left? Because she couldn't pay the bills no more. Nice guy. So he's gone, and she's got these 2 children and no income. But you know what she gave every week? Except for this particular time. She said, you know, for 4 weeks now, I haven't been able to give anything. She said, now I prayed, and God told me what to give, and I just haven't had anything to give. But she said, this morning I'm on my way to church. And this fellow, I stopped by to get this fellow to see if he would come to church with me, him and his family, and hear the missionary, because I knew Brother Cliff was going to be at our church this morning preaching. And they'll come. Sometimes people will come just to hear the missionary. So, you know, I was stopping to see if he'd come. And he didn't come, but he said, Ellen, I know you've got trouble with those boys and raising them and everything. It's hard. I've got something here for you. He went and he got her 2 bags of clothes, one for each boy. And said, I want to give you these clothes, so you know, put them boys in clothes. She thanked him, and she started to leave, and he said, now, wait a minute, Ellen, there's more. And he excused himself, went back in the bedroom. Him and his wife came out of the bedroom, and he handed her some money. And she said, I want you to know what God's still doing for me. She said, those 4 weeks that I hadn't been able to give, I made it up. And she said, I'm ahead now a couple of weeks. And she said, I even had enough left over after tithing that I was able to buy chicken for Sunday dinner. Amen. And boy, I tell you, the place went nuts. And after that, every time, boy, what's God doing for you? Amen. Anybody got a testimony? They would tell you what God was doing in their life today. Amen. I want to know what God's doing today. And I want you to know that He still does what He used to do. He hasn't changed, Brother John. He's still God. He still fills His servants. Amen. And when people get filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, God does things through them. Amen. And it ain't jabber in some unknown gibberish. Amen. Amen. God still is interested in filling His servants. Amen. Here's Elisha. And he says, I want a double portion. Elijah, I've watched you. Man, I've seen you with a widow woman. I've seen you with this. I've seen all you've done. And I want what you got, only I want it twice as good. Amen, because I want to do all I can. Because maybe he was a little younger than Elijah when he started. I don't know. Maybe he had farther to go, but I know one thing, he knew he needed a double portion for what he had to do. And if you look through it, you'll find that not only did he get a double portion, he did twice the miracles. You study it out, amen. He asked for a double portion. Verse 9, it says, and it came to pass when they were gone over, Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I should do for thee before I be taken away. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Proverbs 18:1 says, through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. What's your desire tonight? What's your desire? Well, I'll tell you what, you know what would be a great desire? This thing just keep going. I've heard it prayed already. I've heard a few people saying it, man. Just keep going. Amen. It's gone on now for 3 years, 4 years. It don't have to stop now. Yeah. It can keep going. Amen. Yeah. And this church can keep growing. Yeah. Amen. The people in it can keep growing. And God can keep using you to reach out and bring others. Amen. And others can hear about it. Yeah. Amen. And through desire. You know what our desire ought to be every day? God, fill me. And God, use me. I'm yours. Would you just fill me and use me? You know, I think we Baptists, we shy away from asking God to fill us with the Holy Ghost. I think we do on a daily basis. I mean, you know, you'll only rise as far as you've got power to go. I mean, we got cars sitting out there, you know, and I'm going to take off for back east, you know, tomorrow. But you know what? If I don't fill that thing with gas, I ain't going nowhere. I ain't getting out of town. And then, you know what? Every once in a while, that thing goes down on where it says E, and you better find a gas station. And you got to fill it up again. Amen. And you know what happens with you and me? Hey, we got to get filled up again. Amen. Daily, we got to get filled up. We get out there in that world working. We get out there walking around doing the things we do in the world. And that stuff gets on us, weighs us down, and it burns up the fuel. And we've got to get filled again. Amen. And Elisha said, I want a double portion. I want to get filled twice as much. Amen. And you know what? We'll see later what happened. But Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says this, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Yeah. You know what we've got? We've got a bunch of Baptist Christians that are trying to please God in the flesh. Yeah. And they're living every day of their life in the flesh. And they're not doing anything in the spirit because they just get comfortable doing it in the flesh. And for one reason, and for another reason, maybe they just don't ask to be filled with the Spirit. Maybe they don't desire it because everything's going well, going okay. But I'll tell you, when you will call on God, you'll call on God when things get tough.
Yeah.
You know, when the church really grew, it was under persecution. Things got tough. Then they started asking God for help. We need His help every minute. Amen.
Amen.
So Elisha said, man, I need you. I don't want to do this thing in the flesh. I want somebody to know that my God's real. And then in Galatians 5, you've got the works of the flesh versus the fruits of the Spirit. And you can't. So then they are in the flesh, cannot please God. But the Bible says in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if we walk in the Spirit, which is what Elisha's asking for, what the Bible say? You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You'll have the power of God. You'll see God do some things you never dreamed could be done. In Ephesians 5:18, the Bible says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Is that an option? No, man, no, sir. That's not an option. That's a command. He said, but be filled. He goes on and says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. And then the next verse, you see, these are the marks. If you look in Ephesians 5, these are the marks of a Spirit-filled Christian. A man gets filled with the Spirit, he don't speak in tongues.
Amen.
Unless he understands the tongue he's speaking in.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. A man gets filled with the Spirit, he speaks to himself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And you know what? Sometimes it ain't even out loud because the next one says singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. Take that, charismatic. Amen. Nobody else has to see it. But then he goes on and next verse says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There's the test of a Spirit-filled Christian. Can you submit? Can you submit to the authorities over you? Ladies, can you submit to your husband? Amen. That book says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband a little bit later in that same chapter. Verse 22, 23 in there. Submitting yourself to your own husband, ladies. There's the test. Are you Spirit-filled? Say, well, you know, don't have a husband. Can you submit to your pastor? Men, can you submit to your pastor? There is the test, and there is the mark. I'll tell you how Spirit-filled you are by how much you submit to the man of God. And then, children, it says a little bit further, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. How many times does mom and dad have to tell you to do something before you do it? Shouldn't have to tell you but once. My dad told me once, and if you didn't hear it the first time, he made sure you heard it the next time. Because he didn't have to speak it. He didn't speak it the second time. And you did it. Amen. You did it. But you know what? We've gotten away from that. And I don't know why. I don't know why. God commanded us. God commanded us to be filled with the Spirit. And you know what's happened? Folks have made it to where it's a difficult thing. It's only for men of God. It's only for men of God. No, it's only for singers. Some folks, man, they think if they don't have a band come in every Sunday, they can't have church, man. God don't show up, you know. Oh, I know. It's only for deacons, right? No, it's for everybody. It's for everybody. And it's real simple. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Luke. This isn't in my notes. This is free. Book of Luke. Hold your finger there in 2 Kings. And I got to make sure I got the... It's either Luke 11 or Luke 8. I got to take a look at this. My brain's in about four different places right now. Luke 11, verse 8. Being filled with the Spirit's not some mystical thing that can't be accomplished. God told us to be filled. You think He'd not give us the wherewithal to be filled? Amen. Luke 11, verse 8. For I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now you look at what Elisha did. Several places he had opportunity to go back or to stay, and he said, no, I'm going on. Importunity. He kept after it. Verse 9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now look at the next verse. For how many? Everyone that asketh what? Receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Look at verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
Amen.
You see how simple it is? It starts with asking.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, if every God-given day, if we would just ask, God, fill me.
That's good.
Now, I understand. Sometimes you ask and you don't get filled. Have you ever seen a glass full of dirt? Did you pick that glass up and drink out of it and say, yum, yum? No, man, you want to wash that thing. I do this juicing, you know, and when I do that juicing, all that carrot and beet juice and all that stuff, it kind of lays in that glass. And before you drink anything out of that glass, you're going to wash that glass. Amen. You don't want it tasting like leftover carrot juice. Amen. Hey, it's the same with God. Wouldn't God have the right to expect us to get washed up? I believe we heard it in Sunday school, the washing the water by the word. Amen, to get cleaned up every day. Spend a little time washing, taking a bath. Amen. And get clean. Amen. Okay, you ask and there's something, Lord, and you didn't get filled. You can't fill that glass. If that glass is half full of dirt, you can't fill it with water. You can only fill it half full. You got to get the dirt out of it and clean it up before you can get it completely full. So you've asked and you're not getting filled. Boy, there's just something missing. The joy bells don't go off yet, you know. And boy, you just know that touch is missing. Well, the next one is this. It's found in Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. Go ahead and turn there. Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. You find it? Say amen.
Amen.
Acts 5:32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them, what?
Obey.
That obey him. What in your life has God told you to do and you didn't do it? What has God told you not to do and you're doing it? And now you want to get filled. Ain't going to happen. Oh, you might get a little bit, but you're not going to get filled. Brother Jack Wood taught us years ago that preaching ought to be in the overflow. In other words, you need to get filled, preacher, first. And then overflow is what the people get. Amen. And that's the way it is with us. If we're going to go and minister to a lost world, we've got to be filled. Why? Because they're going to get the overflow. And you go out there in the flesh and you go out there in your own strength and all they're going to get is what you physically can give them, which isn't a whole lot. I mean, it's like getting 12 volt when they ought to be getting 440. Amen. Ain't going to work. So what is it? You ask. The Lord puts his finger on something in your heart and says, right there. So how do you handle it? You get that thing out. Whatever the Lord put his finger on, that's what you deal with. If he said clean it up, clean it up. If he said put it in, put it in. Whatever God said do, just obey him. And when you've done that, you go back and you say, Lord, fill me.
Amen.
Amen. And when the crud's out, amen, when the dirt's out, God will fill you. It's that simple. It's not difficult. It's not something that can't be done. Otherwise, he wouldn't have commanded us to do it.
Right.
So here's Elisha, man. He said, I want a double portion. Amen. His desire. You know what happens? We get content with what we've seen in the past. We get content with something we've already done. And we've come to a level where we can maintain. And in the flesh, we can kind of cruise along on cruise control. You know? And, cruise control, you know what happens? Kind of like this wreck actually happened. I read it in a magazine, one of those magazines you get when you own an RV. You know, everybody sends you these magazines. This woman actually got up in her motorhome. She was driving. Her husband was sleeping. She got up in her motorhome, punched in the cruise control, went back to get a cup of coffee. They had a wreck. She said, well, I punched that button. I thought it was supposed to drive itself. And that's what happens with you and I, man. Too often we punch the button and think it's supposed to drive itself. It don't work that way. Amen. It works as we submit to God and God drives. Amen. His desire, a double portion. Next, we see his desperation. His desperation. Beloved, when you realize how desperate this thing is and how much you really need God, it changes the whole attitude and the way you go after God. Boy, you get... I don't know if any of you were junkies in here or any of you were really hard on drugs, but I'll tell you what, you live for the next fix, if you know what I'm talking about. Amen. And you got to have it. You got to have it. And that's the way it ought to be with God. You got to have Him. You got to have His power. You got to have His presence. Because you know if you don't, man, you're going to wash up on the shore. Amen. His desperation. They start out in Gilgal. Gilgal is a picture of leaving the world behind. In Joshua chapter 5 and verse 9, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you, wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day." So Gilgal is a picture of leaving the world behind, and he's still going after. He hasn't got it yet. He hasn't got that double portion, but he's leaving the world behind. He said, "Ain't no way. I'm going after God, and the world can stay behind." Amen. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Amen. Amen. So he starts out there in Gilgal, and what's Joshua say, or what does Elijah say to him? "Tarry ye here." He said, no, man, I got to go.
That's right.
I got to go. I can't stay here. I know if I stay, I'm going to miss it, and I don't want to miss it.
That's right.
Amen. And so then he goes on to Bethel. Bethel's the house of God. And if we're ever going to see the full power of God, we're going to have the house of God as a permanent fixture in our life. Amen.
Amen.
It's going to have to be the most important thing to us is getting to where God's at. Amen.
Amen.
Just like this week, you made the effort every night to be here, and every night God did something for you. Amen.
Amen.
And God understands, you know, sometimes you get providentially hindered, Brother John. Amen. God understands that. God knows that. But I'm telling you what, you see where he was this morning and where he is tonight. Amen. You know what I'm saying? You've got to be, that's got to be the primary driving thing in your life. Hey, I have got to get where God is. Amen.
Amen.
That's why whenever I get a chance, I go hear somebody else preach. Amen. I go sit down, I plug in some CDs. I get some CDs from Brother Fisher and some other places and some other men of God. And boy, you know, if they send them to you, and I'll get some of them sometimes and just plug them in and listen to them. I get CDs of my pastor. I've already instructed the boys in the tape room, man. I want some MP3s. You know, I want the preacher. I want my pastor preaching. Amen. I want to hear him. Amen. I want to hear what he's got to say. I'm part of that body. And even though I'm not there all the time, I want to know what's going on. I want to know what God's doing. Amen.
Amen.
And so what is it? Getting to where God's at. Amen. Getting to the house of God. You see his desire. We see his desperation. So, you know, again, he gets there and look, "Tarry ye here." No. Listen, it's not enough just to come to the house of God. I got to get it all. Amen. I got to get it all. I got to get all God's got. Somewhere there's got to be some place where there's victory. Some place there's got to be a place of where I see God give me the victory. Amen. So they go on to Jericho. Amen. Jericho is the place where faith is tested in battle. Has your faith been tested in the battle? Well, I'll tell you what, when it has, it makes your faith a whole lot sweeter, don't it? And boy, you appreciate so much more what God's done for you. I mean, they had a little test. You know, fellas, here's what I want you to do. I want you to march around the city 6 days. Okay, we're going to march around the city 6 days. Now, here's what you're going to do on the seventh day. On the seventh day, you're going to go around that city 7 times. And on the seventh time around, you're going to shout. And when you start shouting, the walls are going to fall flat and the city's yours. Can you see the test of faith here? I mean, the first day they walk around and here's all them folks in Jericho going, "Hey, what we got out here, boys? Well, look, they look like a bunch of ants out there. Look at them." And then the second day, well, there they go again. Look at them nuts. Man, look, a while back they was out there following some cloud. Now look at them. They're going around this city. I don't know what they're doing. And then the third day, and the fourth day, fifth day, the sixth day, man, there goes them crazy Israelites again. What do they think they're doing? Surely they're nuts, man. Surely they're nuts. What, get up in front of people and sing songs, brother? You must be nuts. I mean, you know, the things you do for God, you must be nuts. Drive all the way, like you do back and forth to work, and then drive to church, man, you got to be crazy. You must be nuts. And why'd you pick this church of all churches? Why'd you have to go there? Because God said, amen.
Amen.
Simple as that. God's there, amen. Well, you know, so the seventh day. Hey, boys, wait a minute. They done went around 6 days. Now look, that's the second time I count them going around today. What in the world are they doing? And then the third, another guy says, fellas, that's the third time I count them. And then all the way up to the sixth time, you know, fellas, that's number six. Now they went around this thing 6 days. Now they went around it six times today. Well, wait a minute, it ain't done. Look at them. Now them nuts are shouting. What's going on? Down go the walls. That's a test of faith. God told them, I'm going to make you look a little stupid to the world. I'm going to make you look a little silly to the world. But that world ain't yet to see what I'm going to do. Sometimes God will tell you to do some things that are a little off the wall. But he's got a purpose in doing it. He'll test your faith. Step out. Step out. But Lord, if I do that, they're going to think I'm nuts. So they already know you are. Amen. So just prove them right. Amen. Well, you know, if I go to that church, I don't worry, man. We already took your picture, your license plate. We'll put it in the paper tomorrow. They'll all know you were here. Amen. But you know, hey, everything we do looks foreign to the world. You're going to meet in this little building? You're going to call it church? I'd say you had church in this little building a lot.
Amen.
Real church. Yeah. Amen. Just as much church and more church than some of them great big ones.
Yeah.
Amen. And God showed up in greater ways than he does in most of them great big ones.
Yeah.
Amen. It ain't the building, it's God.
Yeah.
It ain't the size of the building, it's how much God you got in the building.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. So here it is. Seven times. And what happened? Their faith got put to test in the battle. And what happened? God did the fighting. You read where they did much fighting? God did it. God did it, man. Just like David and Goliath. God used one man. But God wrought the victory. God doesn't need a big army to bring victory. Amen. But your faith, you're going to have to go through Jericho if you're going to see the full blessing of God. You're going to have your faith tested. God's going to tell you to do something, you're going to have to do it. If you don't do it, you'll miss God. You'll miss God. I'm so glad that God, when God called me to New Guinea, I answered. And I'm so glad when God opened the door for Kenya, I answered. And when God opened the door for Cuba, I answered. And when God opened the door for travel all over the United States and all around the world, I answered. Because you know what I've seen? I've seen the hand of God. I've seen God move. I've seen God save people. I've seen God provide in ways that only God could provide.
Amen.
I mean, in ways that blow people's minds. In ways that I just stand there in awe and say, God, how did you do that?
Yeah.
I'm God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
He's God. He can. Amen.
Right.
So your faith gets tested. But then when your faith gets tested, you get to cross over Jordan. And what's on Jordan? The other side of Jordan. Beloved, Canaan land is not a picture of heaven. I've heard it preached.
Right.
Canaan land's a picture of heaven. If it is, heaven's going to be a rough place. Brother John, they had some battles in Canaan land.
Yeah.
If I read my Bible correctly, my battles are over when I get to heaven.
Amen.
Canaan is not a picture of heaven. It is a picture of the victorious Christian life. Because the battles are still there. But they win as long as they do what God told them to do.
Amen.
One battle they lost. That was a tithe, amen. And it happened because they didn't obey God. One man didn't obey God and the whole army lost. Amen. But when they got it right, God brought the victory. And they never lost another one after that. You do what God tells you to do and you'll get the victory. Amen.
Amen.
So you get across Jordan, you get into Canaan, amen. What happens? He gets over across Jordan into Canaan, and he got to see God in a real way. Man, he got to see the power of God come to him personally. And that's what God wants to do with each one of us, is make it personal. He wants to empower us personally and be our God personally, amen. Not some of this, you know, hocus pocus garbage where it's a collective thing, you know, and you got to get it through the church, amen. No, God wants to be real to you.
Amen.
Amen. He wants to empower you and use you and show you how much he can do in your life. Amen. I'll tell you, he ain't going to let Elijah out of his sight. He's desperate. Amen. We see his desperation. What is it? Hey, two different times, man, men came out and said, hey, wait. Well, you know the Lord's going to take your master away today. And old Elisha, man, he just, yeah, I know it. Shut up.
Yeah. Shut up.
Yeah, I know it. Shut up. Leave me alone, man. I can't let him out of my sight. Shut. He's desperate, man. He ain't letting nobody turn him aside. Nobody take him off to one side where he can miss what God's going to do. He didn't let mama or daddy, amen. He didn't let grandma or grandpa, amen. He didn't let brother or sister, amen. He didn't let the job. I'm telling you, he didn't let the world. He didn't let his own flesh get in the way of seeing what God wanted him to see. And he had to get the blessing. He was desperate. I got to have it. I got to have it. And then we see his dependence on God. He went back. You know what he did? He proved his faith. He was totally dependent on God. He smote the waters. Now remember, he comes across from this side. There's 50 men standing there watching Elijah smote the waters and him and Elijah walk over. Now here comes Elisha up to the same place with the same mantle. He picked that mantle up, amen, in obedience. He knew he had to pick it up. And he takes that mantle and he goes, whop, and the waters go. And standing on the other side is the same 50 guys. They watch two of them go over. And now they watch one of them come back.
Yeah.
And you know what they said? Man, the same spirit that was on Elijah is on that guy.
Yeah.
He's got it. He's got it. Amen. And he didn't have to repeat mumbo jumbo 50 times to get it. Amen. There must be a complete and total abandonment of self and total reliance on God to get that double portion. I mean, Billy Sunday, you know, I mean, it's been said he shook the hands of a million converts. Somebody asked him one time, they said, Brother Sunday said, how is it that so many people come to hear you preach? And here's what he answered. I set myself on fire with the Holy Ghost and they come to watch me burn.
Yeah.
Amen. What is it? Dependence on God. It's got to be God. And folks, if we can get out of the way, God will do it. Amen. Just be dependent completely on him. And fourthly, we see his determination to go forward. He wasn't stopping. Amen. He already knew. Elijah told him, look, if you see me when I leave, then you'll get it. And he stuck with him to the end, man. He saw that thing take off and he said, the chariot of Israel, my father. Amen. Off they went. Off it goes. And he walked back, and what did he do? He went. He put it in action. He could have walked up there to Jordan and said, well, hey, you know what? I just saw it happen. Water. Listen, all he said was, I had to see it. I saw it. Now, I've got the same spirit, so y'all part now. I want to walk across. Water, stand back. Now, I'm going to walk across. Water, now, I'm going to put my foot in. Maybe it's like the priest. You know, the priest had to put the foot in. I'm going to put my foot in, water. No, he didn't. He knew exactly what he had to do. He put his faith in action and he went forward. And the waters parted. And he went back across the same spot on dry ground. He put it in action. He did exactly what he knew he had to do to prove, amen, to those guys on the other side. Amen. They're watching. To prove to them that God's on him just like he was on Elijah. Now what them fellas didn't know was he didn't only have that spirit, he had a double portion of it.
Amen.
Amen. You see his determination to go forward. He put his faith in action. And this week God has dealt with you. God has spoken to you. Just as he does every time you gather, God's done something in your heart. Put it in action. Put it in action in your life. Let them see it out there. Let them see it tomorrow at work. Amen. Let them see it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Amen. Let them see it. Let them see what God's done in you. Amen. He went forward. Then we see, lastly, the desire accomplished. His desire accomplished. Verse 15, and when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. Man, now the next thing you know, he's got more to do than he can talk about. I mean, he does double the miracles of Elijah. And he's helping people. He's helping widows. He's helping others. Amen. And he is able to use that power to help somebody else get closer to God. And that's what it's all about. Bring somebody else along with you. Amen. You've moved up a little. Bring somebody else up where you are. It ain't so we can all get big-chested and, you know, look at me. I have arrived. You know, walk like you stuck on a stick or something. You know, they ought to paint good humor on your forehead. I've made it. No, it's not for that at all. It's so we can bring somebody else up to our level. You know what I'm trying to do, son? Take my hand. I'm trying to bring you up to my level. I've come this far, and I've not arrived. But I'm trying to bring you up to my level. And one of these days, you're going to make it. And one of these days, it's going to be you preaching. One of these days, it's going to be you serving God. One of these days, it's going to be you being a testimony. And I'm going to sit back there and just glow like a light bulb, man. Sit down. Thank you. You know what I'm trying to do, Carlos? I'm trying to bring you up to this level. And it's not that I'm looking down and saying, I'm above you, brother. Bless God, I'm above you, brother. No. I've experienced some things with God. I want you to experience them too. Amen. That's all we're doing, preacher. Just trying to get them to come along with us. Just to enjoy the ride with us. Amen. It's a wonderful ride. And those men saw it. And man, when they see it, you know what happens? They go tell somebody else. Do you know what's going on in that little building over there on Riverview? Whatever that is.
Riverside,
there it is. Do you know whatever's going on? Do you know what's happening over there? Man, I'm telling you, God meets with that bunch of folks. They're a little crazy, but I think you got to be. Amen? Because God shows up. It'll get out. Word will get out. Amen. It will. It already has, man. And it's still getting out. I'll tell you what we all ought to desire tonight is a double portion. God, fill us. Fill us to overflowing. God, not so we can brag on it. Not so we can blow our own horn. No. God, because there's so many people out there that need you. And they need to experience you like we've experienced you, God. There's people in this town and across all the way up and down this coast right here and all the way within, I mean, driving distance of this church, there's people that are looking for something more than they've got. There's people sitting in the church right now tonight somewhere in this city, whether it be from here or clear up to L.A., there's somebody somewhere sitting there hearing some guy get up there and say, a better rendering ought to be. I thought you rendered hogs, man. You don't render the Word of God. Or they're getting up there and they're hearing some garbage come out of this. Amen. And they know there's something more than what they're hearing. And where is it? Right here. Don't you think God can, put it all together and draw them here? Or make you cross paths with them somewhere and then they hear about what's happening and they get drawn here? Or somebody you cross paths with them, and they get drawn here somehow. God's able. He'll do it. Amen. God, just fill us. God, just use us so we can help them. It's not about us, God. It's about them. It's about you, and it's about them and what you'll do for them. And God, we just want them to see what you've done for us. You've been so good to us. God, we're so undeserving. But Lord, you sure been merciful. You sure been good. God, you have poured out more blessings than we could ever count. The song says, count your many blessings. But God, we can't count them. God, there's so many. God, we just want them in on it. God, would you fill us so we can help them get in on it? Would you give us a double portion tonight, Lord, so that we don't have to hear about what's going on somewhere else? We can be the one they're all talking about. You remember, I'll close with this. You remember the story of Peter walking on the water? Remember that story? Let me ask you a question. What were the names of the other disciples that were in the boat? Just said the disciples were in the boat. What were their names? You know, it ain't even mentioned in the story. You know who the one they are talking about?
Yeah.
Peter. You know why they're talking about Peter? Because he stepped out. He got out of the boat. Amen. Get out of the boat. Amen. And go after God tonight. And you're the one they'll be talking about. They won't be talking about everything else. And listen, oh, they're going to talk about us. Yeah, they're going to talk about you. But when you're out of the boat, you're doing something they ain't never done.
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you what, I'd far rather be walking on the water than being an oar puller pulling the boat. Amen.
Yeah.
I'd rather be out there walking on. Yeah, they're all going to talk at me. But I'll tell you what, man, they can say what they want to. Peter still walked on the water.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. And I can see it when he got back in the boat. Hey, Peter, what was it like, man?
Yeah.
How was that, man? He said, man, I'll tell you what. Whoo! And then, you know, there might have been some smart aleck. Yeah, well, Peter, you sank. Hey, I didn't see you out there on the water. Amen?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to talk about you, but let them talk, man. I'll tell you what, when they see God, they're going to be talking good things.
Yeah.
When they hear what God's doing, they're going to be talking good things. But, beloved, if we do it in the arm of the flesh, they don't talk about us. We fit in just like everybody else in Laodicea. We fit in just like all the other churches. And we just play church like everybody else because anybody can work, have church in the flesh. Amen. The Mormons do it. The JWs do it. The Catholics do it. The Methodists do it. Amen. The Lutherans do it. And a whole lot of Baptists do it. And you don't have to be like that. Get the double portion. Go after God and let God in. And they'll all be talking about what God is doing right here. I'd sure rather have them talk about what God's doing than what I'm doing. And boy, I tell you, when they talk about God, somebody gets help. Amen. Did that help you tonight when Brother Alejandro was singing? He's talking about how God helped him. That helped me. Amen. So what happens? People start talking about what God's doing for you, and they want in on it. And they get help. Amen. Tonight, what do we need? We need a double portion. We need to be filled to overflowing. We need God to take this thing and keep it going. God's the only one who can keep it going. You can't pump this thing up. You can't manufacture it. If you do, all you're going to have is something that goes.
Yeah.
But when God does it, it's going to keep going. Onward and upward. When God does it. And tonight, I beg you. Seek God. Don't stop going after God. Don't stop asking God to fill you. And don't stop obeying God so He can fill you. And watch what happens when this place, next thing you know, you're knocking out some more walls. Next thing you know, you're adding a second story or whatever. Amen. Tear it down, build a new bigger building. I don't know. Amen. Why? Because it just keeps going. God keeps helping people. Amen. That's what it's all about. Father, the best I know how, I told you, I did what you told me to do. Now, God, I pray somehow we said something that was a help and a blessing tonight. Lord, I do pray that you would keep it going. I pray, Father, you'd continue to give this dear preacher wisdom to lead and guide the flock of God to feed their souls. And God, give the people the desire to keep going after you, to keep getting filled with you, to keep putting their flesh down, and to keep going into the battle by faith and obeying you so they can see you do things. And Lord, I pray you'd use them to bring others. Their testimony of what you're doing in them would so touch someone else that they'd come get in on it. And Lord, no doubt there's somebody in this town tonight, God, that's praying, that's seeking, that's looking for something more. God, help them to know, help them to find that it's right here. And help them get in on it tonight, Lord. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
394.